History is by and large the story of leaders, of those that impacted large historical events. That is natural, and it is as it should be. But the Jewish obligations of memory require us to seek to remember the Jews that came before us, whether or not they were leaders. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 188, Yom HaZikaron and Menachem Begin's Memory. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. In 1953, the actor Richard Burton stood on the stage to perform in Shakespeare's Hamlet. In the audience was Winston Churchill, honoring Burton with his presence, or so perhaps Burton might have assumed before the performance began. And yet, as Andrew Roberts tells us in his biography of Churchill, the great British statesman served as a distraction throughout the play, for as Burton spoke, it was Churchill, Roberts writes, that, quote, loudly recited the words along with Burton during the performance, end quote. Burton may not have appreciated it, but Churchill reciting Shakespeare from memory during a performance of Hamlet is ironically apt, because the play itself is about memory and references not only the memory of its title character, but also of those that may have been sitting in the audience in the theater watching the play performed. Right after encountering the ghost of his murdered father, Hamlet is exhorted by the specter, "Remember me," to which Hamlet promptly replies, "Remember thee, I, thou poor ghost, while memory holds a seat in this distracted globe. Remember thee, yea, from the table of my memory I'll wipe away all trivial fond records, all saws of books, all forms, all pressures past, that youth and observation copied there, and thy commandment all alone shall live within the book and volume of my brain, unmixed with baser matter. Yes, by heaven." Hamlet tells the spirit of his father that the commandment to remember shall motivate his mind, or as he puts it, he shall wipe away all trivial fond records, ensuring that he will remember while memory holds a seat in this distracted globe. By the phrase distracted globe, Hamlet refers to his head, to his mind. But the phrase, as Marjorie Garber tells us, is also a pun, as the play would have been performed in the Globe Theatre in London. Thus, the words distracted globe describe not merely Hamlet's mind, but also the minds of theatre goers. It is safe to say that in the cacophonous cocoon that is the technological world today, our world, our globe, has gotten even more distracted, and that is why reflections on memory are even more important. Today, on this special episode, released on Yom HaZikaron, Israeli Memorial Day, we think about memory utilizing the memoir of Menachem Begin. We have been discussing how in 1947, the operations of Menachem Begin's Irgun were so critical to the British giving up its rule over the Holy Land. As the question of partition was given over to the United Nations, the operations of the Irgun focused more on battles for preserving the future well-being of the Jewish state, including at the end of the year, the Battle of Jaffa, waged by the Irgun against Arab fighters. We will describe tomorrow the final dramatic vote at the United Nations. Today, in a special episode, we utilize the way Menachem Begin remembered the fighters of the Irgun in order to teach ourselves the meaning of memory itself. If there was any Israeli leader that thought about memory, it was Menachem Begin, for he bore with him the memory of the world from which he came, the memory of his murdered parents, family, friends, neighborhood, and Jewish community, the memory of the crimes committed against Jews in the past, as well as the memory of all those that had fought with him. In his memoir, The Revolt, Begin reflects on the human capacities of memory and forgetfulness, pondering how both are needed, but also exhorting the Jewish people to remember the murdered Jews of the Holocaust. He writes, quote, "The angel of forgetfulness is a blessed creature. The touch of his wings goes far to heal our wounds. Our capacity to forget is every bit as important as our capacity to remember. That is why we should not be angry, nor even be surprised, that though only a few years have elapsed since this nationwide massacre, unexampled in human history, there are many among us who already almost forget. But we dare not resign ourselves to this forgetfulness. For the sake of our future, and possibly for that of the future of humanity, we dare not forget what happened to us in this century of mechanized civilization, in the heart of quote-unquote cultured Europe," end quote. Thus Bacon, in a much more sacred way than Shakespeare, exhorts us to remember, thereby reflecting something central to Jewish tradition itself. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks has noted how Hebrew and Jewish tradition has no real word for history. That is why, in modern Hebrew, it is historia that is utilized. Judaism, Rabbi Sacks argued, focuses on memory rather than history. The reason for this, Rabbi Sacks suggested, is that history describes events that occur to someone else, whereas memory describes events in which we feel happen to us. That is interesting and may indeed be part of the explanation. But I would add that the difference between history and memory lies in the fact that the former is created as a text that is written and that can be studied, whereas memory requires constant effort in order to preserve within our own minds. Memory becomes a part of who we are if we make the effort to preserve it within us. One of the most moving aspects of Bacon's memoir about the revolt against the British is the way that he highlights young men no longer living that served under him, young men that he makes clear he is making every effort to remember. Thus, there is the example of Asher Trotner, who was part of the Irgun's RPF, or Revolutionary Propaganda Force, the publicity arm of the Irgun. Bacon writes, quote, Asher Trotner was a pupil in the 8th class at the Haifa High School. He joined the Irgun at the beginning of the revolt and worked in the RPF. One night, as he was pasting up a proclamation, he was shot by a policeman and wounded in the hip. What does an allegedly civilized regime do with a wounded man, even a wounded enemy? I regret to record that some British officers did not treat our wounded men as we in the underground treated their wounded prisoners in our hands. Trotner was not seen by a doctor, nor sent to the hospital. He was dispatched, his wound open and bleeding, to the Akko jail. The wound festered. His jailers tied him to the bed. The boy had to wipe the blood and pus from his wound with strips torn from his shirt. The guards continued to maltreat him. I was told by Rabbi Bloom, whom the authorities had appointed prison chaplain, that he had drawn the attention of the British to the critical condition of the young prisoner. The reply was characteristic. Rabbis should concern themselves with the souls of the prisoners, not with their bodies. Mind your own business. Asher's spirit was not broken, but his body was destroyed. When at last the prison doctor was brought, he diagnosed severe blood poisoning, and the boy was removed to hospital. But it was too late. Even amputation of his leg did not save Asher. After weeks of suffering in the Akko jail and the Haifa hospital, he died. Asher Trotner, Bacon continued, is one of the noble figures whose memory keeps coming back to me whenever I think of the revolt and of the wonderful generation that suddenly sprang up like a forest of fresh saplings on the soil of the homeland. Why did they maltreat him? Why did they force on him a slow and painful death? I mourn for Asher as for a son. End quote. Thus Bacon highlights the importance of memory and how memory links one to another. And his reflection about young Asher Trotner highlights another difference between history and memory. History is by and large the story of leaders, of those that impacted large historical events. That is natural, and it is as it should be. But the Jewish obligations of memory require us to seek to remember the Jews that came before us, whether or not they were leaders. This Bacon makes clear in describing his own reflections on the revolt in a passage that is incredibly appropriate as the Jewish state and the Jewish people prepares to mark Yom HaZikaron. Bacon writes, quote, I have written neither the history of the revolt, nor of the Irgun, nor have I written the history of the military uprising itself, nor even dealt with all the factors which made the revolt or with all those who shared in it. Many are the names I have not mentioned, yet they are names that should be engraved in the memory of our people. Even of those I have mentioned, often under their underground pseudonyms, I have written only a fraction of the wonderful things there are to tell about them and what they did. I have not written history, nor do I pretend even to have painted a general picture. I have merely presented a few chapters on the most important events of the period, as they are reflected in personal memories. The full history of the revolt, the history of the Irgun, and of the armed uprising against the mandatory rule has yet to be written. It is right that every act performed for the liberation of our people should be recorded and remembered. It is right that everybody who worked in one way or another for the creation of reborn Hebrew strength and for its application in the struggle for liberation should be singled out and remembered. In what we call history, there is considerable injustice. History, especially the chronicles of war and revolt, records the names of a few who stood at the head. But the truth is that often the main work is done by the quote-unquote craftsmen, the rank and file, the unknown soldiers. Let us not reconcile ourselves to this historic injustice. The chronicles of the Jewish struggle for liberation should be written in their entirety. End quote. So Begin beautifully writes, highlighting how Jewish memory is meant to encompass all that deserve to be remembered. We remember this passage on Yom HaZikaron, the Day of Memory, the day that the Jewish state has set aside to remember all the heroes that fell defending the Jewish state, as well as all the Israelis murdered by terrorists. Every one of those individuals that are remembered has a name, a story. Everyone deserves to be remembered. We live today in a distracted globe, making the globes that are our minds all the less mindful. And that is why the exhortation to remember is all the more sacred and all the more essential. May this be a Yom HaZikaron worthy of the name, one in which we live up to one of the most sacred of Jewish exhortations, the obligation to remember, ensuring that this day is one of memory and therefore of meaning. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.